And if you hear the quotation marks around my hard news. Brian Williams gave us 8.1 minutes. That's the NBC Nightly News. The ABC World News gave you 7.8 minutes of hard news. You want to know why you don't know nothing? You want to know why you don't know stuff? Now, how much soft news did they give you? 10.9 minutes. ABC. 11.3 minutes. NBC. 10.9 minutes. Katie. And if y'all don't think that ABC or CBS News with Katie Couric is not just a mouthpiece for this administration, tonight, guess what the news story is? It's been 5 years since we've had an anthrax scare. The government is ready to close down this program. Should we? You know what? Kiss my grits. There is so much news that you could be talking about out there. You want to bring to the American people another fear factor piece. Whether or not we should be concerned about anthrax, which we didn't have to be concerned about to begin with. That's what Katie Couric is bringing you with hard news. Now, 10 or 8.2 million people tuned in to watch Katie Couric. I guess because her shtick is really not changing that much. I imagine that the ratio of hard news that she gave you on Good Morning America or the Today Show is not much different. Her outfits are probably different. More suity. Uh. 8.2 million people watched Katie Couric. 8.5 million people watched Brian Williams. 7.6 million people watched Charles Gibson. Unbelievable. This is why things are as bad as they are. WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. You want to know why you don't know. 7.8 hard news minutes. The last story in ABC News was the survivor story. The last story on the NBC News was the George Lewis story of the behind the story of the web sensation Lonely Girls, 2.1 minutes. The last story with Katie Couric was pushing NBC's Tim Russert, ABC's George Stephanopoulos, talking about Tuesday primary results. Here's what CBS missed an opportunity to weigh in after Tuesday's primary. Can I just break a little bit of this down for you, please? We had huge critical elections that happened on Tuesday. CBS News, that's paying $15 million a year to Katie Couric to bring us the news. CBS News didn't weigh in on the election results on Tuesday. And you know why? They said, I don't think the results of the Tuesday primary were a big surprise. Wow. Wow. So that's the standard for news reporting. If it's a surprise to you, then you report on it. If it's not a surprise, we saw that coming. No need to talk about it, to analyze it, to break it down, to talk to other people about it, to see if it was a surprise to them. No surprise to us. Move along. Lord help us. We have much to talk about. Stay with me.
Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis. AM 920 WGNU.
Sponsored by Creve Coeur Cartridge World. Save big, print happy.
Not since the Civil Rights Act in the 1960s can I think of any bigger initiative that will empower African Americans to have control over their life than the stem cell initiative.
Dr. Michael DeBon, Associate Professor of Pediatrics at Washington University School of Medicine, explains why medical experts, faith leaders, and community leaders urge a yes vote on Amendment 2, the Missouri Stem Cell Research and Cures Initiative on the November state ballot.
Diabetes, sickle cell disease, hypertension. These are the type of diseases that occur in our families, in our community. Stem cell research could lead to cures for those diseases and many others. Please, please join me in voting yes on the Stem Cell Initiative to ensure that all Missourians will have equal access to future stem cell cures. Thank you.
This voter information paid for by the Missouri Coalition for Life-Saving Cures. Sandra Ost, Treasurer.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
State Auditor Claire McCaskill, candidate for the U.S. Senate, will join Liz Brown on Tuesday, September 19th at 7 a.m. to talk about the critical issues facing the Democrats this November and will also help to set the record straight on her opponent, Jim Talent. Claire McCaskill will be a regular contributor to the Wake Up Call program until the election. Don't miss Claire McCaskill, Tuesday morning at 7 with Liz Brown here on the Wake Up Call.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Was it time you let me know what's real and going on below? But now you never show it to me, do you? And remember when I moved in you, the holy dark was moving too, and every breath we drew. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning, Will.
Yeah, wow. There's two things I wanted to hit on real quick, and one of them was the Pope. And I'm just sitting back sometimes. I'm just amazed at how stupid a lot of the this conservative media thinks that we are. Because the way they're trying to spin this now is that this isn't what these weren't the Pope's thought. This isn't what he really thought. He was just using this to illustrate the direction that he thought Islam. He was trying to call upon for the people of the Muslim faith to be able to stop the train before it gets to this point. And I think that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Well, I mean, what they're saying is that he did not create these words. He quoted these words. That's what they're saying. Therefore, the fact that he is quoting these words somehow distances him from what the words actually say.
Exactly.
And the problem with that is that you pick the quotes. I could pick the most awful quotes that are filled with lies and say that that's what it says about the Catholic Church, and I would be wrong in doing that. I would be wrong in doing that, and he was wrong in choosing that quote.
Because when you pick those words, what it shows is that you have some type of synchronicity in thought with those words. In other words, I wouldn't read those words unless there was something in them that I personally reflected on and found truth in.
Or you say that these are odious, absolutely wicked words. It's not true. It's horrible. And I'm quoting these words to show how horrible people can be when they speak wrongly of another religion. That's not what he said.
Exactly. He used that the greatest non-apology phrase to come out in years. I think is always, well, I'm sorry if anybody was offended.
Mm-mm.
By the words.
He didn't say that. He said, "I'm sorry if you all are tripping about that.
Exactly.
I am sorry for the reaction to my remarks."
That's, I'm not sorry that I use these words. Mm-mm. Or that I find synchronicity with these words. I'm just sorry that you got upset by it.
Sorry you tripping.
Know?
Sorry
and
you
that's,
tripping.
That's the most ridiculous thing. Now on to the Republican Party. I'm so glad, you know, that they seem to have beat the assault on the gay population to death, because after they used it in 2004, you've had all these states that rushed to pass these, you know, anti-gay marriage laws. It's like they've pretty much taken the steam out of that energy, because right now they seem to be going back to the old reliable be scared, be scared, be scared tactic. And they, you know, they pretty much sucked the mileage out of the gay marriage thing. So that's one good thing that came out of that. If you want to try to look at a bright side to that, is they can't use that for anything coming up with these, you know, midterm elections, and I'm glad about that. But other than that, you know, it's fast, like you say, it's fascinating to sit back and watch this stuff, but I'm glad we got people like you that get people to think critically and stay on point and analyze everything, because the way they work with their conservative crowd, they pretty much preach and tell them what to think. They try to set the benchmark, but people like you, people that are really progressive, always think for themselves, and that's what we need to keep doing. Thanks, Liz.
Thanks, Will. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, good morning, Mrs. Brown.
Good morning.
Yes, and I just want to go along with the brother that just mentioned you about we have people like you to come along and communicate through the language which it was created for, is to transfer ideas from one human being to another. And you can think for yourself. Now, when you was talking about how can we be so slow behind and understanding what is going on, lies and things that these leaders are telling us, it starts from childhood into your education, what we call education. You know, when you teach a child that he must believe in an expert, I'm not faulting the parents that the parents are made us, myself and other children, to believe in experts. It's because these people knew more than what my parents knew, and they was looking out for my welfare. But the point of it is that we forgot to teach our kids that there is common sense which comes from thinking, which you was born with. You got to use that. And this is what has happened. Today, when you're talking about the news, you have the news media. The president can get on there and say, we will no longer furnish bomb to Israel. And the anchor people will get on there, and they will interpret to you what the president means. Well, the president means, what did you say he mean, George? It meant this and that and this and that. Well, I heard what him say. Well, what he said. So therefore, we walk away with what the experts say. We talk to people today, and they don't have a daily conversation with us, like just common things that we know of and we have experience. It's about the news. Oh, did you hear what they said on the news? Rally, rally. That's the whole thing that we see. And Mrs. Brown, I look at it, when you look at the religion thing today, it's so powerful in our culture that people set up and will refuse to look at reality. The Bible starts off, if you can see the Christian people and all other religion, I guess, I don't know about others, but I do know about Christianity. And it starts off, and Christian will tell you, so, well, God don't make no mistake. When the Bible say it does, God says, I am sorry I created man, and he destroys now.
Okay. All right. I got to go, but thank you very much. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. And it's on the front page of today's paper. It's so fascinating how we interpret and others interpret. On the front page of the New York Times today, they say, in a rare step, the Pope expresses personal regret. Huh. That's not how it landed with me. Pope Benedict XVI sought Sunday to extinguish days of anger and protest amongst Muslims by issuing an extraordinary personal apology for having caused offense with a speech last week that cited a reference to Islam as evil and inhumane. And I quote, because, you know, I mean, you got to look at the words and hear the words to decide if they mean what people say that they mean. He says, I am deeply sorry for the reactions in some countries to a few passages of my address. Huh? That's not expressing personal regret. That's an I'm sorry you're tripping statement. These were, in fact, quotations from a medieval text which do not in any way express my personal thought. And he repeats the PR piece. The true meaning of my address in its totality was an invitation to frank and sincere dialogue with great mutual respect. How do you have great mutual respect for someone when beginning the dialogue you use words that are lies about that person? I'd like to have a frank discussion about Bobby Jones over there. A frank and honest discussion about Bobby Jones over there. So let me read a quote from a book that says, Bobby Jones is a murderer and a liar and a generally an awful man that has no value. He is evil and humane. Now that's a quote from a book. I don't agree with the quote. But I'm going to use that quote to start an open and honest dialogue about Bobby Jones over there. Does that make any sense to you all? Bobby Jones is not evil, not a liar, not a evil, not inhumane. So tell me why you were using this quote that was a lie about Bobby Jones to start a frank and honest discussion about Bobby Jones. Come on now. And then when Bobby Jones's family gets mad at you and starts burning your house down, you say, I deeply regret that Bobby Jones's family is upset about those words. Huh? You ain't sorry for starting this? Come on now. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. Mostly cloudy day. Chance of showers this morning. Partly cloudy this afternoon with a high in the lower 70s. For this evening, partly cloudy skies. A low in the upper 40s. For Tuesday, partly cloudy and cool with a high in the mid-60s. And Wednesday, look forward to mostly sunny skies. A high around 70 degrees. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have cloudy conditions. Our current temperature is holding at 60 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 59 and clouds as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. We'll take another look at your national ABC news at the top of the hour, and then I'll give you a quick forecast update. That's a look at this hour's weather. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
State Auditor Claire McCaskill, candidate for the U.S. Senate, will join Liz Brown on Tuesday, September 19th at 7 a.m. to talk about the critical issues facing the Democrats this November and will also help to set the record straight on her opponent, Jim Talent. Claire McCaskill will be a regular contributor to the Wake Up Call program until the election. Don't miss Claire McCaskill, Tuesday morning at 7 with Liz Brown here on the Wake Up Call.
Hello, I'm John Womack. I have a new show on WGNU called On the Table. Some of the things we'll talk about will be restaurants, food and wine trends, recipes, but really, we're just trying to help you experience great food and wine, whether you're at home or out on the town. So if you love great food and wine, you'll love On the Table. Be listening every Tuesday at noon here on WGNU.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal, work, or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
This is Judy Moskoff. Join me for A Gardener's Notebook every Monday at 12 noon on AM 920. Get useful tips on growing beautiful flowers and fresh produce. That's A Gardener's Notebook, Mondays at noon on AM 920 WGNU.
It's another Wake Up Call exclusive. Does AIDS really exist?
When the researchers told you that worldwide 35 million people have been infected and 5 million have developed AIDS, you believed them. What about when they told you that minorities, primarily blacks and Hispanics, now account for some 54% of the more than 5 million cases of AIDS? You believed them, right? So what if someone told you that AIDS didn't exist? Would you believe?
Investigative journalist Liam Sheff joins Liz Brown Tuesday, September 19th at 8 a.m. for a two-hour look at whether the AIDS epidemic is real or a real hoax, exclusively on the award-winning Wake Up Call. What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get up. Get to me. We have much to talk about. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz.
Very good morning.
And how are you today?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Oh, great. Glad to listen to your program. You always make my day for me.
Well, thank you.
Did you know about what Walmart is doing?
Which part? Tell us.
About the layaway?
Yes, I know about that. What Walmart is doing, that it is going to be eliminating the layaway program.
And it gets better from there. Well, worse, I should say. What they're going to do is they're going to have in-house credit cards that are loaded with fees.
Loaded with all kinds of fees. And for those of you that may not really have thought about this layaway program, the layaway program's really for people that cannot get credit cards, for people that are on fixed incomes, for people that that manage their money. The layaway program really works for these people because there's a $5 fee. And you have to pay on it regularly, and it allows people to use this instead of a credit card. And for a lot of people that are on fixed income or lower income, this was the way that they could shop and get the things that they needed. And for Walmart to eliminate that is a big deal, and it's going to impact negatively on what people are able to do. A lot of families use the layaway for toys. They buy the toys in March or whatever, and then they pay on the toys every month without any kind of exorbitant fees. So now Walmart's found another way to go get poor people's money.
Oh, yeah, in a different way.
If they issue people the cards.
Yes, exactly. I was listening to another radio program last night. I like to fell over when I heard that one.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it was an outstanding piece that you had done on pieces that you had done on the Walmart series.
That's right.
So I wanted to thank you for that.
All right.
Thank you for your time, Liz, and have a great day.
You take care, Barry. Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
Fine, Will.
This is Will. I'm getting a great reception out of the telephone today. I'm not having such a bad time.
All right.
I'm in Pennsylvania. You know I'm a truck driver.
Right.
And I don't get the radio, but I just have you in mind. Then when I am home, I do listen to you. But you always keep us up to date on what's going on. But if you remember the last time you had that one speaker on, our guest, that was talking about the educational system, and I had mentioned about them making it mandatory for bilingual language such as Spanish being introduced to the public school system.
Okay.
Because there's a great need for especially the Afro-Americans to pick it up and get on the bandwagon before it's too late, because you know how valuable a Spanish and American-speaking person is to any company, the airlines.
It's valuable for anybody to know more than English. Any language, in addition to English, is a valuable tool.
Because in most states I go to now, they're advertising every day. If you can speak Spanish, English, or any other language, you are valuable. Please call this number and that number. So, you know, we're not going to make it waiting for someone to hand us out. So we have to go out there and grasp it. Ask God to give us the gift and the insight to say, go out there and grasp it and grab the bull by the horn and get it. Because other than that, we're going to fall at the wayside, and that country grammar ain't going to get it, you know, and the bonnet is not going to get it. We have to wake up.
All right.
The other thing I wanted to mention, you know, how naive are people to think when they talk about a holy war? You know, some people just take a life for granted. They need to open up their Bible and realize what a holy war really is. When these people in these foreign countries decide they're going to have a holy war, they're talking about generation to generation that they plan on trying to invade the United States. And we need to turn around and start really actually investigating what's really going on around us. Not be in fear, because God says stand fast and know that I am God, but also be involved in the political system and find out what's going on in our community, what is being introduced to our kids, and which way are we going as far as the future is concerned.
All right. Thank you so much, Will.
Okay. I want to say hello to all the St. Louis's, and you keep listening to Liz, because she will keep you on top of what's going on.
Stay safe.
God bless you.
God bless you. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. Robin.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
I was just listening, and I caught the tail end of the comment that the gentleman was making about Walmart. Mm-hmm. Could you repeat that for me, please?
Walmart is discontinuing its layaway program. They're discontinuing it, which is going to have a really, really heavy, particularly as heavy, it's going to have a heavy impact on poor people, on people on fixed incomes, and people that cannot get credit cards or do not want to have credit cards.
Right. So what are they planning on discontinuing the work?
I don't know what the date is, but they're phasing out the program.
Okay, Ms. Brown, thanks a lot.
All right.
Okay, goodbye.
1-877-920-WGNU, Lindsay.
Good morning, Ms. Brown. I enjoy your program as usual, and I certainly enjoy the young man's comments who's a truck driver, because I've been trying to say to people, let your children, even though they are not required, you still need to know what the next person is thinking. And you can do that when you can speak in their language, because then they feel comfortable to talk to you. But about this Walmart cutting back, now black people need to stop and think, do I need it? Because, you see, all my life I've known people doing layaway. I've done it myself. But if this is the way they feel about it, maybe you need to stop and think, do we really need it? Because when it comes to toys, our children need more books than they need toys. We need to visit the schools, see what the children are supposed to be learning, and then when they come home in the afternoon, ask, what did you learn today? Not how was school. What did you learn new today? Don't give me that same yesterday stuff. What did you learn new today? Now, what is your assignment? Let me see some books. Let me see some homework. And that's what we need to do to help our children and tell them we can't afford it. It's about time, because of this economy, having sent stuff overseas and trying to make it tougher for poor people. Let's get with that program and say, if we can't save it, then we really don't need it.
All right. Thanks for your call.
Thanks for your program.
And the thing about that is that Lindsay speaks to the consumerism in this country. Now gas prices are going down. I saw gas for $2.07 on, Grand, I think, last night. Know why gasoline prices are going down. Yes, they're going down in anticipation of trying to take away an issue for the election. But those that control this economy, our economy, the United States economy, is based upon the amount of stuff that we buy. If we stop buying stuff, then the economy tanks. It's not a great thing. It's not a great thing to base your economy on how much stuff you buy, because you push and you instill in people to be a consumer. You wonder why the savings in American savings are the lowest that they've ever been in the history of this nation? Because of consumerism. People need to start thinking about how much stuff that they buy. Why are gas prices going down? People stop buying stuff. People stop buying stuff. That $3 a gallon gas shook people. They stopped buying stuff. Heard a report this morning about an owner of a gas station saying, yeah, people are now buying potato chips and all that other stuff we shouldn't be eating either. Now the gas prices are going down. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Glenn.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
Hey, I wanted to talk about two things. First, the Pope's comments.
Okay.
Those comments are really hypocritical in a way.
Which comments are we referring to?
The one that he just made regarding the statements he made in reading a quote.
Okay, so not the so-called apology, but the actual, what he said. Okay.
Right, what he said. Well, both. The whole context of it was just hypocritical, because if you look at the history of the Catholic Church, it's full of violence.
Mm.
It's full of, if you don't believe my way, we
die.
Kill you.
If you don't believe our way, die.
And they've done it. They have a history.
Mm-hmm.
I've studied music, and you have to study the Byzantine area, you deal with the Gregorian chants and all that stuff.
Can I quote something?
Yeah, go ahead.
Onward, Christian soldier, marching as to war.
Mm.
with the, yeah, I mean, there are all kinds of war imagery in Christianity all throughout, and also, and acts of violence throughout Christianity. So for the Pope to pick out this statement, and can I read it for you?
Go ahead.
Show me what Muhammad brought that was new, and there you will find things only evil and inhumane.
Mm.
And that's something such as his command to spread by the sword the faith he preached.
Mm. That's I mean if it speaks for itself. It's a hypocritical statement, and I don't, he made it to basically inject himself into this whole argument that we have today. The second thing I want to talk about, Ms. Brown, I don't know if you noticed, U.S. Bank has a check, what you call a check,
let
check
me put, advance. Let me put you on
okay.
hold. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. We'll be back to take some more of your calls, your comments, your concerns, your issues, your stuff. Stay with me.
State Auditor Claire McCaskill, candidate for the U.S. Senate, will join Liz Brown on Tuesday, September 19th at 7 a.m. to talk about the critical issues facing the Democrats this November, and will also help to set the record straight on her opponent, Jim Talent. Claire McCaskill will be a regular contributor to the Wake Up Call program until the election. Don't miss Claire McCaskill, Tuesday morning at 7 with Liz Brown here on the Wake Up Call. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update. Dateline Baghdad. There are unconfirmed reports that the Pentagon has decided to begin digging moats around the city of Baghdad in an effort to improve security. The Interior Ministry has already announced plans to set up at least 24 new checkpoints for more limited access to Baghdad. One American military source says this moat idea will not be a completely new trench around the city, but will instead utilize natural terrain that already provides some obstacles that is currently in place. Baghdad is 60 miles in diameter and is surrounded mostly by farmland. However, there is a network of irrigation canals that cut across the outlying areas, as well as traffic ways that are little more than rough trails. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update.
This is Lloyd Sloan, the Sloan Ranger, defending truth, fighting bad guys, and sometimes wearing a mask. A little history, a little entertainment, current events, a lot of good fun, and healthy debate. Call me, argue. If you're wrong, I will disarm you. But have no fear. The Sloan Ranger never shoots to kill. That's weekdays 5 to 6 on WGNU.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its events and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@WGNU.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
Hi, this is Lethea Owens with a Motivational Moment. If you always do what you've always done, then you will always get what you've always got. If you want something that you've never had, then you must do something that you've never done. If you always think the way you've always thought, then you will always get what you've always got. So please join me on Mondays from 1 to 2 for Motivational Mondays, where your dreams become reality on AM 920 WGNU.
It's another Wake Up Call exclusive. Does AIDS really exist?
When the researchers told you that worldwide 35 million people have been infected and 5 million have developed AIDS, you believed them. What about when they told you that minorities, primarily blacks and Hispanics, now account for some 54% of the more than 5 million cases of AIDS? You believed them, right? So what if someone told you that AIDS didn't exist? Would you believe?
Investigative journalist Liam Sheff joins Liz Brown Tuesday, September 19th at 8 a.m. for a two-hour look at whether the AIDS epidemic is real or a real hoax, exclusively on the award-winning Wake Up Call. Real life, on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
like a butterfly. I sing like a hornet. They won't let me have it, not even if no one else want it. And if I try to take it, they wanna break me down and strip me naked. They write a brand new rule and break it. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they fake it. But I'm gonna make it, Lord, I can take it. I'm the greatest man alive. Cut the drama, boy, save it for your mama. I'm the greatest man alive. I can't sweat it, no, I got to get it. I'm the greatest man alive. Without no doubt, my name.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, 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 much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. Glenn.
Yes, the second part of my comments, Ms. Brown, was about a U.S. bank. I don't know if you noticed this. They got a cash advance. Now, it's very secretly, well, not secretly, but quietly been rolled out. I've been banking with the bank for more than 10 years now, and I noticed a little link in my checking account about a month ago, and for the first time, and now they're offering these little cash advances, and I'm telling you, this is going to destroy middle-class poor people. I mean, this is a dangerous feature.
Well, explain it, please.
Okay, key features, advanced cash immediately in your checking account. All you got to do is click on a link, and you can get up to $500. It's 120% annual percentage rate finance, $1 for every $10 that you borrow, which you can get nothing less than $20 at one time. So you can't never get $10. And you pay it back with if you have a direct deposit, whether it's weekly or monthly, whatever, they automatically take the money out. If you don't have the money, then it goes into a insufficient fund.
Whoa, and then
that's
they charge a fee. Whoa.
Okay, and they will keep adding, they will keep debiting that until you bring your account up. Now,
whoa.
There's a feature that says if you don't have the money to pay it, then you can borrow again to cover the insufficient fund.
Whoa.
I'm not making this up. I'm reading it right out of my account right now.
Whoa. So anybody who has a checking account at U.S. Bank and gets direct deposit can do this?
Can do this. And not, and you can only, you don't have to do it online. You can call and do it over the phone as well.
Whoa.
And this is a
125%.
No, 120% annual percentage rate.
Interest?
Yeah, interest. So that means if you borrow $500, it's $50. If you have a weekly deposit, the next week you pay $550 back. If you don't have the $550, then they'll deduct whatever you have. If you don't have anything, by the 35th day, it's all insufficient funds. And it's a $35 fee. So if you don't
Whoa.
Pay back, that's deadly, Liz.
Whoa.
That is deadly to poor people.
Whoa.
Because you know they're going to do it. I mean, it's just so tempting when you don't have the money to pay your electric bill, when you don't have the money to pay your phone bill. You look in your account,
so you're
and
a
you
senior,
click on a button.
So you're a senior that gets a Social Security check.
Can you see how this all been designed?
You know, it's like the banking industry looked at what was going on out there with these payday loans.
Yes.
And they said, you know what? We want some of that.
Yes.
How do we get some of that? How do we? I know we can't go out and just say, all right, to get a loan from U.S. Bank, we're going to charge you 120% interest. We can't go anywhere with that. But we can do it this deadly way. We can do our payday loan with y'all.
It's deadly, Liz. I mean, it's so easy. Just click on a button. Just click on one button. And
they don't do a credit check. They don't do anything.
Yep. You don't have to show up. You just click on a button and get how much you want. It's automatically. It's and then
how
it's
far? How
in
much?
Your account instantly.
How much money can you get?
You can get up to $500, and that's half of what your total deposit is. Direct deposit is at this point. It's $500.
Oh, Jesus.
And that's and then if you don't, like I said, if you don't have the money in there to pay them back, you could borrow against the insufficient fund if it goes into a negative deposit. And then on top of the negative deposit, you have 3 days to bring it up, and it's $7 each day after 3 days. I'm not making this up. I'm reading it right online right now as I speak to you. Anybody with a U.S. bank account, with a checking account.
Is there any way that you can just, like, copy that and email it to me? Could you copy that and forward that to me, please?
Yes, I can do that. Better yet, I would like to fax it to you.
Okay.
If I can't. Let me get my pencil here.
All right, I'll put you online and let Howard give you the fax number, okay?
I will do that.
Thank you so much.
All right.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Oh, my Lord. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, Liz. How you doing?
I'm outstanding.
Yeah, it's really amazing. Everybody wants a piece of you. There's no savings, like you said, earlier. There's no savings involved in this. Every dime that you have is what you're going to have to spend.
Now, see, the bank doesn't give you a benefit for, direct deposit giving you a little bit higher interest rate on your savings account. But they will. Oh, my Lord, a bank charging 120% interest.
But, Liz, I wanted to talk to you about torture. Let's throw a little torture in here now.
All right.
it's not bad enough that, the war is going as critical and crazy as it is right now. This war, so-called war on terrorism. Let's add some terror. Let's add some torture to the mix. I mean, and the first person that stood up and hollered about it was John McCain, because he know the whooping that them Vietnamese, the Viet Cong, put on him in Vietnam.
Because they said that the North Vietnamese said that you are not prisoners of war, you are enemy combatants.
Exactly.
So they didn't use our phrase, but they used another phrase that was not person that was captured as a prisoner of war. Yeah, that you're not a prisoner of war, and they used that to do anything that they wanted. That's what they did to John McCain is what the United States is through George Bush is saying I want to do.
Exactly, and you opening the door for anything and everything goes.
Mm.
This is exactly what's going on right now, and I this is something. I mean, if Abu Ghraib wasn't enough. This is something right here that really, really needs to be clearly defined. It needs to be really talked about, because this is something right here that can throw this war or this so-called war on terrorism into another altogether dimension. You're talking about the Byzantine era and the Middle Ages and the Spanish Inquisition and this, that, and the other. It's going to be all rolled up in one, Liz.
All right now. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. Juanita.
Hi, Liz. How you doing?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Okay. I was wondering, I don't know, people out there have been knowing this. First time I know it. Okay, I wrote my friend a check.
Okay, know what, Juanita? We don't know what you're talking
about. About the U.S. Bank.
Okay.
And so, she really needs the money. I wrote a check. And so she told me later on, she cashed the check. I say, they charge you $5 to cash my check?
Yes.
You know.
And you had account with U.S. Bank?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Charged her $5.
I was so hurt when she told me that, because she really needed that money. As I said, I gave her the money, but she had to pay $5 just to cash it?
On their bank. That's why I think that is so outrageous that you take a check drawn on the same bank, and the bank is going to charge you $5 because you don't have an account at that bank?
Exactly. That hurted me so bad when she told me that. I said, girl, I did not know they do that. Mm. I said $5.
$5.
Oh, my God. This is ridiculous.
$5.
That doesn't make sense. That's just being greedy.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm outstanding.
All companies and the banks are the worst crooks in America. That's what causes this country to be what it is today.
Don't forget the pharmaceuticals.
Hey, the pharmaceuticals right behind them. And the people who run them are the doctors or anything. They're just men who sit around and wake into greed. They're not a part of in the healing, they're part of putting it into a business-type system where the dividends come to them. And they pay doctors just like they pay everybody else. People really don't realize what's going on. But what I want to say is that the whole idea of the Catholic Church and the Muslim, the whole dialogue comes down to what everybody's saying. And the newscast, I want to say this, that this is going back to the Crusades. We are now trying to somehow stamp out this type of religion by wars and rumors of wars and using the democratic system when everybody does not want Disney World in their country. And this is what America's up. And let me say one more thing. Look at Mexico and South America. The Mexican president, the Mexico is going to go into revolution because those people down there are understanding that they're being oppressed and they've been that way through the Catholic Church all their lives.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
1-877-920-WGNU. Listen, folks, we're going to the top of the news hour. That's okay. I'll be back to take your calls, questions, comments, concerns, issues. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wound below knee.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. There are two developing stories that we're working on this morning. The first is at the U.S. Capitol. The building is in lockdown and a suspect is in custody.
The U.S. Capitol was shut down after a security scare about an hour ago. A man crashed his car into a security barrier that controls access to the Capitol grounds. The suspect got out of his car and fled, but was captured by Capitol Police. Authorities say the man had a handgun, but so far a search of his vehicle has turned up no other weapon. No members of Congress were in the building at the time. The incident occurred near the construction of a visitor center.
ABC's Pam Coulter in Washington. The other story, a problem on the International Space Station appears to have been solved. The crew members were wearing their protective suits for a while after a smell which was found to be potassium hydroxide in vapor form was discovered. Now, the crew isn't exactly alone up there at the station.
The space shuttle has already undocked from the station. It undocked on Sunday. It's about 70 miles away right now doing its own inspection of the shuttle to make sure there's no damage to the heat protection system. Meantime, the Soyuz has launched and is on its way to the shuttle.
ABC's Lisa Stark in Washington. An E. coli outbreak of spinach is growing nationwide. Now over 100 people in 19th states are sick, and a second person may have died. Scientists are trying to figure out the source of it.
Several states are now testing spinach samples where people have gotten sick. And to help them, the CDC has set up an emergency operation center in Atlanta to field calls from state testers. All of this as the FDA continues to try to figure out where and how the deadly E. coli outbreak began.
ABC's David Muir at a spinach farm in Long Island, New York. President Bush begins 3 days of international diplomacy at the United Nations today. The Middle East is high on his agenda, with that being the focus of his speech tomorrow to the General Assembly. The president will also focus on Iran's nuclear ambitions. This is ABC News.
What's all the buzz about tomatoes lately? Research performed on Lycomato, the only tomato lycopene complex, has uncovered promising antioxidant power that could help protect your health. How can you get this antioxidant protection? Be sure your supplement says Lycomato. Unlike most lycopene supplements, which are synthetic, only natural Lycomato gives you all the antioxidants found in the tomato. Ask for Lycomato at GNC, the vitamin shop, and other fine health food stores.
AOL users, now you can keep your AOL email address for free. Bring it with you to Net Zero and save almost $200 a year. With AOL's recent decision to let you keep your email address for free, you can get your email from AOL and your internet access from Net Zero. Net Zero is only $9.95 a month. That's less than half the price of AOL. And Net Zero ranks higher in customer satisfaction. So why wouldn't you do it? Take 2 minutes now and download Net Zero. Call 1-800-NET-ZERO or visit netzero.com.
They've done reality TV shows on just about everything, so why not this?
Here's ABC's Deirdre Bryant.
How do you solve a problem like Maria?
That was the name of the BBC show, the purpose to cast the part of Maria in Andrew Lloyd Webber's big-budget production of The Sound of Music. The judges narrowed it down over the weeks. It got down to three, and viewers voted. 23-year-old Connie Fisher, who'd been working as a telephone operator, won the part. Webber opted for the reality show after failing to sign Scarlett Johansson. The British Actors Union called the process demeaning, but there'll be more. Next up, casting for a Broadway revival of Grease. Here's the Bryant, ABC News.
No beer kegs? It's kind of a bummer, but it's not a problem. That's what students at Connecticut's Fairfield University are saying. The ban won't keep them from buying beer. They'll just buy more cases, even though it will cost them more. The school says the ban is to keep students safer and healthier. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 4 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's weather and your weather for Tuesday and Wednesday. Mostly cloudy today. Chance of showers this morning. Partly cloudy by this afternoon. High in the lower 70s. For this evening, partly cloudy. A low in the upper 40s for Tuesday. Partly cloudy and cool with a high in the mid-60s. Then on Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high around 70. Currently, we have clouds and 60 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 61. Stay tuned for more of Liz and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at quick look at your weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, tell me, sisters.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you pick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can you stand?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it.
Struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Lord, we have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is our phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up, get up, get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning, Mary.
Someone was speaking about banks and getting checks cashed, Liz.
I had a check, and usually when someone gives me a check that's written on a certain bank and I want to find out for sure whether the money's there, I go straight to the bank. And I hate to name it. I think it was the Citizen. I'm not sure of the name of the bank, but it was a bank that's not too popular. So I went to this bank to get the check that someone had given me, and they wanted me to pay $10.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, $10? So I went on and took it to my bank. But that's not really what I wanted to talk about quickly, if I may. I feel that I have a problem with people that come into this country that speaks another language and doesn't want to learn our English language if they know they're going to stay here.
Who do you know that says, I don't want to learn English?
They don't say they don't want to learn it, but they won't go and learn it. They'll be here for years and can't hardly speak English. I know that for a fact, Liz. Well, I'm not talking about what I heard.
Well, okay. How long, if you went to France?
I'm not talking about if I visit the country.
Let me ask the question, Mary. How long would it take you to learn Spanish if you went to Spain, if you went to live in Mexico? How long would it take you?
Well, if I went to live in Mexico knowing myself, I would really hop on top of it quickly because I know I need to communicate with these people.
How long?
I really don't know. I've never tried to speak a foreign language,
okay.
But I'm
so
feeling that from my experience, I would learn it. The major things pretty quickly.
Okay, so
I know that for a fact.
Okay, well, but you can't.
If I was younger now, I would learn something like the Spanish because I think that's the language that most of us should kind of learn.
I think that your observation about the motivation of individuals to learn the English language, I think that it is really kind of unfair.
If they come to this country and they're a citizen and they want to stay here, and they rely on this country, and they sit there and live here as much as 5 years and act like they can't speak English.
Act like they can't speak English?
Uh-huh,
what does that mean, Mary?
Well, you start talking to them, and they don't sometimes
How do you know they don't know? How do you know that the person that you're talking to is not trying to see if you have taken any time to learn somebody else's language? How do you know what amount of English somebody knows or not? How do you know that?
Your age
has nothing to do with this, Mary. You can't read the mind or know what somebody knows any more than anybody else. You are drawing a conclusion based upon somebody's race and based upon somebody's ability, what you perceive to be their ability to speak English.
Well, may I
and
say
you've
this,
and you've
please?
Also wait a minute, and you've also drawn a conclusion about their motivation to learn English, which is totally unfair and totally without any evidence.
I don't have evidence, Liz.
No, you don't
I've
have evidence.
People that does not speak English that has been here a while, okay?
And that's
my evidence because I've been involved with someone.
And they've all said, and I have no intention of learning, and I ain't trying. They've all said that, right?
Well, they know like hello or something simple like that.
You didn't hear my question, Mary. All of the people that you have known in this country.
I haven't known a whole lot.
I didn't say a whole lot. Okay. Listen to the words I'm saying. All of the people that you have known in this country that do not speak English, all of them have said to you, one.
Well, I didn't say nothing about all, Liz. You putting words in there that I didn't say.
Why don't you let me ask the question?
I said some people.
Any of the people that you're talking about, have any of them said to you, I have no intention and no desire and have put no effort into learning English? Have any of them said that to you?
No, it hasn't.
Then how do you know that? How do you know that they have no intention, that they are not trying, and that they have absolutely no intention to speak the language? How do you know that, Mary? If they ever told you that.
I have a problem with someone that wants to live in this country, Liz,
and
that comes here as a citizen
and I've asked
and doesn't learn our language.
And what I have asked you, Mary, is that you've created this group of people that have come to this country that don't.
No, I didn't do that. You're saying it the wrong way.
No, I am not. You said I have a problem with people that come to this country and do not want to speak the language. And I asked you, what place
well,
in reality?
Well, maybe I phrased that wrong. Let's assume I phrased that statement wrong. My point was, when people come into this country, I think I called you like about a year ago about a friend of mine, her daughter moved back here from California. And she was saying she had a problem because her kids was going to this school out there. And she said that her daughter seemed to be not doing well in school. And she went up to the school one day because her daughter had always been an average student that did well in school. But when she went to the school and went up to the door, the teacher was speaking in Spanish.
And
her daughter was sitting there just staring, looking down.
And
she looked through the door.
And
she said, wonder why he's speaking so long in Spanish. But she didn't think he did all the subjects that way. But she found out the reason her daughter was not learning well, because it was more Hispanic children in the class than American kids. And she was very upset. She went to the principal and the school. Even someone there was Spanish. And the most of the teachers were speaking Spanish American. But they were concentrating on the majority of the kids.
There is
more.
No American language. There's English and there's Spanish. So you sound like, you really have taken, it sounds like.
Well, you didn't let me finish my little story, if I may. But what happened was, she found out the reason her daughter wasn't learning as much because they were trying to divide the subjects between the American language and the Spanish, and the teachers had more Spanish kids than American kids, so her daughter wasn't getting the training in school that she should have gotten. So she took her kid out of the school. They moved back here. I think I told you the story.
I don't remember it,
Mary. I did. You have a lot of callers, and I know that.
Okay.
But
okay.
My thing is,
Mary, gotta go. 1-877-920-WGNU. We're taking a break. Stay with us.
Phil Wilson.
And of course, I'm George Cotton. We're your hosts for The Real Deal.
Well, looks like we're moving again. That's right. The Real Deal is headed to Drive Time.
That's right. Now you can take us home every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday evening from 4 to 5 o'clock p.m.
The Real Deal with George and Phil. Some say we're rude, opinionated, and that we hang up on people.
Well, tune in from 4 to 5 every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and you just might find out. Until then, we'll see you on the radio.
Not since the Civil Rights Act in the 1960s can I think of any bigger initiative that will empower African Americans to have control over their life than the stem cell initiative.
Dr. Michael DeBon, Associate Professor of Pediatrics at Washington University School of Medicine, explains why medical experts, faith leaders, and community leaders urge a yes vote on Amendment 2, the Missouri Stem Cell Research and Cures Initiative on the November state ballot.
Diabetes, sickle cell disease, hypertension. These are the type of diseases that occur in our families, in our community. Stem cell research could lead to cures for those diseases and many others. Please, please join me in voting yes on the Stem Cell Initiative to ensure that all Missourians will have equal access to future stem cell cures. Thank you.
This voter information paid for by the Missouri Coalition for Life-Saving Cures. Sandra Oss, Treasurer.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap. Weekday afternoons, immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis. AM 920, WGNU.
Sponsored by Creevcore Cartridge World. Say big, print happy.
State Auditor Claire McCaskill, candidate for the U.S. Senate, will join Liz Brown on Tuesday, September 19th at 7 a.m. to talk about the critical issues facing the Democrats this November, and will also help to set the record straight on her opponent, Jim Talent. Claire McCaskill will be a regular contributor to the Wake Up Call program until the election. Don't miss Claire McCaskill, Tuesday morning at 7 with Liz Brown here on the Wake Up Call. Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and you need to get up, you need to get to me. We have much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Liz.
Dimitri, good morning.
How are you this morning?
I'm outstanding.
And I'm peachy.
All right, now.
Okay, I want to talk about this lady that just called up about the fact that those children in California, what an opportunity those children miss, because children can learn a foreign language easier than grown-ups.
Absolutely.
I speak two foreign languages, and when I'm in Europe, I can see Americans that come over there, and the first thing they do when they get in a situation is that they call out and say, does anybody here speak English?
Mm-hmm.
Well, fortunately, most Europeans, or a lot of Europeans speak English, but they also speak two or three languages, and it's not unusual because I just consider myself average because I know two foreign languages besides English. But I was on an airplane with an ambassador to Albania, and he was speaking to the stewardess in English. And he said to the stewardess, I don't have to learn the Albanian language. He says, I have an interpreter. And most of the Albanians, including myself, just started laughing because we know that the ambassador was at the whims of the interpreter. He could translate anything to satisfy either his personal needs or his country.
Absolutely, absolutely. And there is just such this intolerance in this country to other languages. I think it is short-sighted. I think it is stupid. I think that it is fruit of the poisonous tree of intolerance that is directed at people of African descent every hour of every day. How can a parent say that I don't want my kid to be in a place where they would learn another language? I don't want my child to be in a place where when I see children, Hispanic children, I see that these are not non-Americans. How can you say that they're non-Americans by looking at them and seeing that they're Hispanic?
Well,
it's such an intolerant attitude.
I was born in this country, but I grew up in a community of Europeans, and I spoke two languages before I could speak English very well, but I was born in this country, so I'm an American citizen. But the one final note, Liz, I've talked to people who work in embassies in different countries, and none of them are required to learn the language in the country in which they're working in or representing us in. They rely entirely on interpreters. And so, because of that, it places our country in danger because there's always this cultural misunderstanding, and that leads to confrontation and crises.
All right.
And if we don't require our people from the embassy to learn the language where they're going to live and work in, it seems to me it's a ridiculous foreign policy.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Hey, good morning, Liz. How are you doing?
Fine. How are you?
Mr. Razur. How've you been?
I've been very good. Thank
you. That's great. I want to, first of all, agree with the caller who you just finished speaking with and what everything he has said. And then I want to make a comment to the first caller. She must understand that there are two very difficult languages in this world to learn to speak. One of them is Chinese.
That's the
hardest one.
Mm-hmm. And then the other is English.
English is the second one.
Mm-hmm.
Because English has a variation of multiple languages, and it changes.
And there's no male, female. It's a horribly hard language to learn.
That's so true. That is so true. And because of the fact that there is no intonation factor to describe certain situations, and so many words sound exactly alike, but mean something different, makes English extremely hard.
Two, two, and two.
Yeah, two and two, through and through.
No, two, T-O.
And T-W-O.
And then T-O-O.
Right, right. Same thing with the word through.
You know, it's ridiculous. English is a ridiculous language that is cobbled together by a whole bunch of things with no rules.
Exactly.
Everybody else's language has all of these rules. You know what word you're going to, what you're talking about by the he and the she-ness of it. English is a horrible language.
Exactly. You're absolutely.
And I defy any American, particularly with this intolerance that we have of other languages, I defy any American to go and be able to speak Spanish after living in the country for 3 years. Mm-hmm. I defy them to be able to speak Spanish after living in a country for 3 years. Bet you don't.
But here now, take this point into consideration. We, those of us in this country who are of African descent, have absolutely no business complaining about other peoples of other nations speaking their language when we are a people from a continent of multiple languages and do not speak any of them.
Thanks for your call.
Have a good day.
1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Jeff.
Yeah. Yes, Liz.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I wanted to chime in on this whole issue as well. I agree with your last two callers. You know, I think people don't have a sense of history sometimes. Some people don't. With regard to even here in St. Louis, there are still laws on the book that speak of English and German being posted on any official, newspaper reports for jobs and postings and that kind of thing. Here in St. Louis, you know, German before at the early turn of the century was the second language of this city.
It was spoken in schools as well.
It was spoken. A lot of the schools were actually named after German people. People don't realize a lot of our streets before World War I were German streets. Pershing was Berlin. That's just how strong, you know, the street near where you're working there. That street was a German named street. It was Berlin. They named it after General Pershing after the war. So this whole thing about, you know, our language, this was a multiple, language country at one time. And it's just a very narrow-minded view that we have with regard to other people. It's, as you said, it's complete intolerance. And people need to think and look back. And I spent almost 30 days or so in Mexico once. And I can tell you, it's very difficult to learn and grasp a new language.
Okay, and I got a roll. But thank you so much. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Yeah, I want to make a comment about the caller who said something about the language. Two things real fast. Number one, first of all, I think it's ignorant. You know, if a person doesn't want to learn a language, that's up on them totally. And let's be real honest. The real intention about people learning other languages only because, not because they really want to go to other countries. They do it just to impress people. They're not doing it just to say, just to live in another country or to take on the other country's culture. They're doing it just to impress people. I know a lot of people speak different languages, but they've never been to the other countries. And number two, you know, it saddens me to hear, especially our own people, pissing about another race, meaning Hispanics, about the immigration thing about, for us, they and we and we. Since when have we become so patriotic that this country accepts us as we are, and we can start pointing the finger at them?
Wait a minute. Where's the we in this?
No, you know what we talk about.
No. I meant when a person of African descent says them and us, who's the we that they're talking about? Because you ain't part of the we.
That's my point. You're not part. I mean, all of a sudden now you're an American. You're patriotic. You know, and everybody else are aliens. You know, I hate to hear people.
I do too.
I hate it. I can't stand it.
I do too.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for your call.
All right.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me. Karen.
Hi, how are you? Good morning.
I'm outstanding.
I want to change the subject just a little bit. I wanted to get some information out to your listeners, if you will. It was about the family that was in that explosion on Thursday in Bell Ridge.
Mm-hmm.
A trust fund has been set up for them for donations. due to, it was all the three kids and the mother. They don't have anything at U.S. Bank in Lynette White, the Vance Family Fund. And I just wanted to get that out there to your listeners. To, if they're able to donate, please donate to the family.
Very good.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye. 1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Stay with me.
Morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a quick look at your weather for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Mostly cloudy. A chance of showers this morning, then partly cloudy this afternoon. High in the lower 70s for this evening. Partly cloudy with a low in the upper 40s. For Tuesday, partly cloudy and cool. The high only in the mid-60s. And on Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high around 70. Currently, we have 60 degrees and cloudy skies, and Lambert Field is following suit with the same. 60 degrees there and cloudy skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your national news with ABC at the top of the hour, and then I'll give you a quick rundown as to the weather. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
It's another wake-up call exclusive. Does AIDS really exist?
When the researchers told you that worldwide 35 million people have been infected and 5 million have developed AIDS, you believed them. What about when they told you that minorities, primarily blacks and Hispanics, now account for some 54% of the more than 5 million cases of AIDS? You believed them, right? So what if someone told you that AIDS didn't exist? Would you believe?
Investigative journalist Liam Sheff joins Liz Brown Tuesday, September 19th at 8 a.m. for a two-hour look at whether the AIDS epidemic is real or a real hoax, exclusively on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Hi, this is Judy Moskov. Join me for a Gardener's Notebook every Monday at noon. We'll be talking with gardening experts and sharing information that you need to know. Get the latest dirt on everything from tomatoes to trees. That's a Gardener's Notebook, every Monday at noon.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5, Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care. Still connected to the community. State Auditor Claire McCaskill, candidate for the U.S. Senate, will join Liz Brown on Tuesday, September 19th at 7 a.m. to talk about the critical issues facing the Democrats this November and will also help to set the record straight on her opponent, Jim Talent. Claire McCaskill will be a regular contributor to the Wake Up Call program until the election. Don't miss Claire McCaskill, Tuesday morning at 7 with Liz Brown here on the Wake Up Call.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Grandma's hands used to hand me a piece of candy. Grandma's hands picked me up each time I fell low. Grandma's hands, boy, they really came in a handy. She'd say, Matty, don't you whip that boy.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call, Steve.
Hey, how you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
I haven't talked to you in about 3 weeks. I was calling because I really understand what y'all are saying. I'm one of them young people, and I was just letting you know that when I was in high school, I had a Spanish class. And when I went to Spanish class, I never did want to sit there and try to talk a whole different language because it sounds funny. Could have been doing better things. But now I work out in the field every day doing landscaping.
And how do you feel about it?
I'm the only American in my job, and everybody else is Hispanic. So they kind of teaching me this for how to communicate, how to pass it on. But I thought to myself, a long time ago, if I would have just paid attention and buckled down just for that year, that little semester, I'd have been able to approach the situation that I'm in now a little bit better. But since I didn't, I have to learn with, what is this? What's that? Okay, let's try it again. So that's just some of the things that you have to go through. But when you're young, it's better to get it when you're young before you get a little older.
Absolutely.
And remember everything.
Absolutely.
And I just thought I should call in and just let it be known that, yes, it is true. You should have learned it back in the day, because now that's all that's over here is the Hispanics, foreigners, and things like that. So we just need to either get with it, or you're just going to be left behind.
And how can it hurt learning another language? How could it possibly hurt?
That's what I like. That, now I can say it ain't nothing that's going to hurt you about it. But when I was in high school about 4 years back, I would have said, hey, we don't need to learn this. What we need to learn is for. I ain't going to be speaking to nobody in Spanish. I'm going to work at an English job. I don't need this. And as soon as I get out of high school, my first job in the field of landscaping, of horticulture, I'm dealing with Hispanics every day, all day.
And here's the other piece of it. Here's the other piece. Let me ask you a question. Who in your school encouraged you to get a to learn another language?
The teachers and
Did people really make a big point out of it, or did they make enough of a point of it in school of how important it was to learn another language?
Nah, to be honest, Liz, all I tell you is you need these two foreign languages to pass. And then I say, well, can I take them in night school?
Mm.
Well, no, you can't do that. You're going to have to take them first. Well, this is what I do. Who the coolest teacher? Oh, she's really nice. I don't have that many complaints. Let me get her. Then once I get in there, I get cool with her and then be like, I really don't know this. That's okay, baby. And you just make it through.
And how'd that work out for you?
And I'm in a slump.
There you go. All right, now, good message. Thank you so much, Steve.
All right, Liz.
Take care now. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
I want to speak about the banks. You say it charges a fee for cashing their own check.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what I would suggest is you speak to the customer service. Because I know they're not just everybody write checks who got a checking account. They're not just writing them to individual. They're writing them to companies to pay their bills and so forth. And they're not charging them.
No. Well, let me explain the situation, Al.
Okay.
The way that it works is that say you have a checking account with U.S. Bank and I have a checking account with Regions.
Right.
You write me, Liz Brown, a check for
$100. Right.
I go to your bank, U.S. Bank, to cash the check that is written on your U.S. bank account. I don't have a U.S. bank account. They want to charge me $5 to cash your check.
Right. I understand that because I've been through it.
Okay. So what are you saying?
What I was trying to say, how you could, you don't have to pay that. You can call them and tell them you're not going to, how are you going to charge a person that I wrote a check to $5, to cash that check?
Call who?
Call the bank. My bank, if I give you a check for $100, a personal check,
mm-hmm.
and you told me that when you went to cash the check, you only got $95 because you had to pay $5 for cashing it. And you come back and tell me because you're supposed to get the whole $100. And so I'll go back and call that bank, which I did once. And I told them, how can you charge $5 for your check and my check that I gave a person for $100, and you're going to charge them $5 to cash my check on your bank? And it's your bank. It's your check. And I talked to them for a while, and they gave me my money back because I explained to them, I write a check to Laclede Gas, Union Electric. You don't charge them. And they said, and they agreed, they don't charge them any money. They don't have account with them either.
But Laclede Gas doesn't come to the bank and try to cash your check.
Right. It doesn't make any difference. It's my check, and they're getting the same check that I would give you. So you should get the same service that Laclede Gas or any other person.
I hear you.
And so they will do it if you go, and they're not going to put that in writing. You tell them, say, hey, I want you to put it in writing that you're going to charge anybody that I write a check $5. And they'll back off of that.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Okay.
All right. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Aleem.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm outstanding.
Well, first of all, let me remind the sister that...
Which sister?
The sister that was talking about the languages and people coming and... that there are people of African descent that are considered Hispanic and Latino, and that Hispanic is not necessarily a race, but really a ethnic group or a nationality, that a lot of people don't understand that there are people of African descent that speak Spanish and that are born in Spanish-speaking countries, such as Central and South America. And then, but my main point that I'm trying to make is that the whole ideal of people coming to America and considering America a great country, I'm kind of wondering, I would like to sit down and talk to these people who come to America that leave other countries for political reasons, before political asylum. Why do they think America is a great country? Have they studied the history of America and what people of African descent went through and still going through in America to consider this place a place of political asylum?
I think that it depends on what you're fleeing from. If you are fleeing from the fear of somebody knocking on your door in the morning and with this specific purpose of killing you and your family.
Black people face that.
No, I didn't go to bed last night worried about anybody knocking on my...
But it has happened to our ancestors.
You're not listening to me. Okay, what I'm talking about is a person who has the very real fear. Because out there in the world that they live in, because they are of a certain political group, they are going around cutting off the hands and the heads of people that are in that political group. Today, you and I do not face that fear. Not that real fear. Not that I'm afraid to answer my door fear. We don't have that. Other people do have that real fear. So some people are fleeing because they are, as a woman, assaulted because of their particular philosophies or because of what groups they belong to. Those are real fears. And so people are fleeing direct fears like that. I understand people doing that. I also understand and appreciate you saying that you have to know the history of this country. The history of this country with respect to people of African descent is dismal. It is awful. It is racist. It is bad. It is all of those things. Sometimes people feel that they're in the fire and they want to jump into the frying pan. That's the first step, okay? I'm no longer in the fire. I'm jumping into the fire plant, and then they have hope that they'll be able to get out of the frying pan. That's the thought process of some people. Some people come here because the economic situations in their country means are so dismal that working for $5 an hour, which is below the minimum wage here, is still more money than where they're coming from. And also sending that money back to the people in their hometown means that their children can go to school and their children can eat. So they're jumping out of that fire into this frying pan, and they're going to take that. People do the lesser of two evils types of decisions all the time. So that's those lesser of two evils are just, people vote with that philosophy as well, the lesser of two evils.
Well, the brothers and sisters over, the Somalian brothers and sisters who had their stores and their businesses raided last week. And I think one of there was a comment by one of the Somalian brothers who said this is what they was fleeing from the other country.
Mm-hmm.
And they come over here and they get raided. They had their money taken.
That's right. Their bank accounts frozen. Absolutely.
But I just don't consider America a great country. I would like to see a day when the world itself is rid of all evil, not the lesser of any. All evil is rid of.
Thank no disagreement with me, brother. No disagreement. Thanks for your call.
Okay, thank you.
1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me, please. I'll be back.
State Auditor Claire McCaskill, candidate for the U.S. Senate, will join Liz Brown on Tuesday, September 19th at 7 a.m. to talk about the critical issues facing the Democrats this November, and will also help to set the record straight on her opponent, Jim Talent. Claire McCaskill will be a regular contributor to the Wake Up Call program until the election. Don't miss Claire McCaskill, Tuesday morning at 7, with Liz Brown here on the Wake Up Call.
Hi, I'm Laurie Fulkerson, inviting you to join me every Monday morning at 10 on AM 920 WGNU. You'll hear stories of people just like you who are overcoming obstacles and making the difference in the lives of others. You're invited to share your thoughts. You know people are what matter most to me, and I enjoy talking with you and helping you reach your highest goals. Join me for the Laurie Fulkerson Show, Monday morning at 10 on AM 920 WGNU. We're here to discuss what matters most to you.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Washington. You might remember the story we brought you some time back about how the IRS was after the NAACP, claiming it had endangered its tax-exempt status by endorsing political candidates. After a 2-year investigation, the IRS has determined that that organization did not violate its tax-exempt status when Chairman Julian Bond gave a speech back in 2004 that was critical of the policies of President Bush. Current President Bruce Gordon says it's sad to think the IRS took 2 years to figure out the obvious. He said tax-exempt organizations need to feel free to challenge and be critical of government policies without having the IRS sicked on them. It was revealed that several Republican senators and representatives had written letters to the IRS asking for the investigation to take place after Bond condemned the president's policies on education, the economy, and the war. One of the Washington attorneys who represented the NAACP in the matter called the entire case most unusual, especially the timing of the action shortly before the 2004 elections. He said it left a bad taste in his mouth because conservative outfits like the Heritage Foundation were churning out press releases in support of the president during the entire political season, but no one called for them to be audited. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
For the issues that matter most to you, of course, it's AM 920 WGNU. This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA.
It's another wake-up call exclusive. Does AIDS really exist?
When the researchers told you that worldwide 35 million people have been infected and 5 million have developed AIDS, you believed them. What about when they told you that minorities, primarily blacks and Hispanics, now account for some 54% of the more than 5 million cases of AIDS? You believed them, right? So what if someone told you that AIDS didn't exist? Would you believe?
Investigative journalist Liam Sheff joins Liz Brown Tuesday, September 19th at 8 a.m. for a 2-hour look at whether the AIDS epidemic is real or a real hoax, exclusively on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Around the world and behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I've got an old road to travel.
but I can't turn back. My heart is fixed, my mind's made up. I'll never stop in my faith. Will see me through. Let me tell you, I'm all alone.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400. Get to me. Shirley, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Do you have a name of those banks that do that?
Okay, which part of that are we
cash and check that belongs to them and charge the person a fee.
Oh, I know that U.S. Bank does that.
Oh, I know. My daughter writes me a check because I pay her cell phone bill.
Mm-hmm.
And National City didn't do it. It's on National City. Now, I don't know if all of them do it, but this one on Grand didn't do it.
Okay, so you took her check to...
Her check.
To
and, and cashed for $40.
Okay, and they didn't charge you.
They didn't charge me because I paid her bill, so she can't reimburse my money back.
Got you. Gotcha. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank
Bye-bye.
You, Shirley. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
You know, Liz, I don't see where they're having a problem. All you have to do when you write the check, you know, you hit the ABA numbers on all those checks, city, state, and bank. And all you have to do when you're writing a personal check is write cash. When you write it and sign for it and give them cash, I never had any problem with it. But
no,
if you don't sign it, you might have problems.
That's you going to your bank. If you write
any bank or cash them, because it's coming out that account, but the account's on the check.
No, they won't cash somebody else's check written out to cash that you try to come and cash. You can't write me. You can't write on your checking account, pay to the order of cash, then give the check to me to go and cash that check in your checking account. They won't let you do that.
They used to. I know they used to wait 2 or 3 days when the out-of-town checks that comes in before you could cash them.
No, I don't know of a bank in America that allows you to write out a check to cash and then give me, the non-checking person, that check and let me cash that. I don't know of a bank in America that would do that.
Well, I haven't had any problem at mine. I've given personal checks. Well, you know, checks come from companies that have account numbers on them.
Mm-hmm.
You send your account number in. And when you give it personal, if you put on their cash and sign it, you give them permission to go into your bank and get that money out because the check numbers are on the checks.
I hear you.
And I never had any problem.
Okay. Thank you. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get to me. Rick.
How you doing today?
I'm outstanding.
I want to confirm U.S. Bank definitely does it.
Mm-hmm.
And also Bank of America does it if someone writes you a check that's on a business account.
Okay.
So I have a friend who he runs a business, and I do some work from time to time. So if he pays me on his personal checking account from Bank of America, no problem. If he writes me a check from his business account, they charge me a $5 handling fee.
Mm. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
That's it. I'll let you know.
Thanks for your call.
1-877-920-WGNU.
You're on the wake-up call.
How are you, Liz?
I'm outstanding, Malik.
You know, I was listening to a lady talking about language, and I had to deal with it driving a cab from the 40s up. These people don't come here to America. A lot of them are poor now, but they don't come here to America to not be able to speak English. They learn it if they can't speak very little of it. Because they can't get by. They can't ask addresses or nothing. And especially if you're an entrepreneur, you have to have some knowledge of language to deal with the public. So, I mean, to learn another language is almost a necessity for people coming here, and it should be for people here to learn another language.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you don't have another language, you're at a great disadvantage. That's what they try to do to us already, is keep you from studying another language so you can't have no privacy even. And I think a person that don't study another language is at a great disadvantage traveling anywhere.
I agree.
Now, I'm going to say this and hang up. I had a customer that was living on Maryland, and he was an Ethiopian. And I just watched him. He would get in. He spoke broken English. And I spoke to him one day. I said, "Tell how you're sitting," which means, "How are you this morning?" And you could have saw the look in his eyes to hear somebody speak what he was familiar with. He offered me in for Kufsia and everything.
Mm.
These people traveling in a land do not deliberately don't want to learn
that's
the
why
language.
I asked, that's why I asked the caller, tell me how many people that you've talked to in your the Hispanic people or Mexicans, Guatemalans, anybody that speaks Spanish that you've run into, how many have said to you, I have no intention, I ain't trying to learn English. I don't know.
None of them going to say that.
Okay, first of all, you wouldn't understand everything
they did. You had the going there, didn't you?
Beg your pardon?
When you went to Africa, you had the experience of dealing with people that did not speak English.
It was fabulous.
And I know you felt at a disadvantage.
You are at a disadvantage. But it was fabulous to hear other languages. And I bought a book in order to be able to speak Cree.
You can see then what you would face.
I don't need to be educated on it. It's a very challenging thing and a very scary and frightening thing.
Very frightening.
Particularly for someone like me whose job is about communications and speaking.
What could you do?
You know, so learn another language. Only Americans have an attitude about that, and
I almost said it's about English. English has no parent language.
No, it doesn't.
It's
no,
composed
it doesn't.
Of Arabic. It's composed of French. It's
you
composed
name it.
Of everything.
Everything
it's
else.
Language on earth, on earth.
Absolutely. Thanks
have
for your
day,
call. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me. Mrs. Burks.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning. Listen, I was listening to you talk about the banks charging money to cash your check.
Mm-hmm.
I have a second job, and if I put that check in the bank, it'll have to stay in there 5 days. So I go to the bank, U.S. Bank, to cash my check. And the first time I went there to cash it, they said, well, that'll be an additional $10. And I said, I'm not giving you $10 to cash a check that's on your account, you know, that the check was drawn on. So anyway, what I did was I went to my employer. Said, you mean to tell me you're charging people, letting them charge us to cash a check that you're doing business with? And what they did was they got in touch with the bank and put a little something extra, I don't know what it was, on the account to let them know not to charge us.
Wow.
You know, that's
so your employer did that. That was very smart, Mrs. Burks. That's a very good solution for an individual solution. That was very good.
Yeah, just go to your employer and say, look, you're charging me again. You
that's
know,
right.
It's like taking money back out of my pocket.
That's right. And for no reason. It's not like, I mean, you're talking about, they're operating a business, you know,
right.
and they, I'm sure a lot of money runs from that business through that bank.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's just a ripoff.
It is a ripoff. It's
so
a total ripoff.
That's what they ended up doing. But let me tell you this. My employer had to pay extra
for that
to be done.
You know what? They should have said, you know, we're going to change our account.
And they are.
You know, okay?
They are.
And they should.
We're getting out of that account. But we've got to pay you the cash checks that we draw on your account.
That you make money.
And they have, like, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars going through that account.
That they make money off of with the interest of that. Good for your employer, because that's stupid. That's a stupid business policy. If a business calls you and says, do not charge the employees that I have for cashing my checks, and they said, well, you need to pay us for that, you know what? There are other banks out there that will take your money that won't do that to your employees.
Absolutely.
That's
crazy. So if
anybody's
going through that, they might want to do that.
All right now.
Thanks,
Mrs. Burke. That's a very good suggestion. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Yeah, letting the bank do it, too.
Mm.
They do it, too. Ms. Brown, another thing I want to ask you. You were speaking on the speech that the Popey Boy read.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in these thing instances, you have a writer, and sitting over in the corner, you have a guy that said he didn't mean that. So you got two people. Now, this is what I speed read. When you read something, like if I write your speech just for this morning show, do you read, when you read it, do you look ahead in the writing, or do you just read as you get to the, well, you know, do you look ahead at the?
Of course.
Okay, then. That's what I thought. I mean, so he knew what was on the paper.
No, it's deeper than that, Mac. Because it was a speech, so it was written.
But it was written for him.
Well, I'm not finished. It was a speech.
Mm-hmm.
So the speech had to be researched first.
Yeah.
It had to be thought of. It had to be thought of first. Mm-hmm. It had to be written second. After it was written, someone checked the writing of it. Mm-hmm. Then someone else checked that. Mm-hmm. Then someone else checked that. Then someone else checked that. Then the person that handles all of the speeches for the Pope checks it. Mm-hmm. And then the Pope checks it. So it goes through at least a dozen people before it ends up in his hands.
But what he said is what he meant.
So what he said is what he... No, what he said was what he intended to say.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Because it's like an ad that appears in front of you, or a commercial that says something racist. These are not ad-libbed commercials. They go through an entire process of vetting. This person writes the copy. There's a copy person that checks the copy. It goes to a group. It goes to a focus group. It goes to a whole lot of things before it ends up as the commercial that you see. It's not an accident. It is one of the most intentional acts that takes place. For the Pope to open his mouth with any speech is a extraordinarily intentional act that dozens of people weigh in on before it comes out of his mouth.
To the puppet.
That's exactly right.
Right. Okay. All
right.
There's no excuse.
There's no excuse. You intended to say that, and your apology is absolutely no. It is not an apology. It is not an apology to say I'm sorry, y'all tripping on what I said. That is not an apology. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Liz Brown, wake up call. Be back in the next hour. Stay with me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from the ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger.
He ran out of the vehicle and was then being chased by Capitol policemen and ran up the east front Capitol steps and into the Capitol, and then was taken into custody.
He's a construction worker at the U.S. Capitol who was there when the facility was locked down earlier today. The man the worker is talking about is now under arrest.
The man, whose intentions are not known, crashed his car into a security barricade, then jumped out of the vehicle and ran into the building. He was captured just inside, but the building was shut down for about an hour while authorities conducted a sweep. Staffers who were in congressional offices at the time received emails from the Capitol Police advising them to stay put. A spokesman for Senate Leader Bill Frist said if the man intended to do any damage, he was not able to follow through on that. Pam Coulter, ABC News, Washington.
President Bush heads to New York for 3 days of international diplomacy at the United Nations. He'll address the General Assembly tomorrow. A scare for the crew on the International Space Station. They had to put on their protective suits, gloves, and masks when they discovered a chemical leak, but it turns out it wasn't deadly.
You want the crew to do exactly what they do. They need to follow procedures and get on with the job of isolating the issue and recovering from it. Following the procedures, and you want them to communicate as fast as they can with the ground, but you want them to take care of what they're supposed to do on orbit first.
That's space station manager Mike Suffredini at Mission Control in Houston. It's still not safe to eat spinach. The E. coli outbreak is growing. ABC's David Muir.
Certainly this is frustrating for spinach farmers who go about farming the way they're supposed to, pulling the spinach, washing the spinach, putting it out at their farm stands, and then bagging it as the customer comes. That's how they do it at this particular farm on Long Island. But as they know, people are going to be a little skittish right now given the outbreak and the fact that there's really no way to pinpoint where this outbreak began.
More than 100 people are sick and a second person may have died. ABC News Money Scope, the Dow's down 7 points. This is ABC News.
What's all the buzz about tomatoes lately? Research performed on Lycomato, the only tomato lycopene complex, has uncovered promising antioxidant power that could help protect your health. How can you get this antioxidant protection? Be sure your supplement says Lycomato. Unlike most lycopene supplements, which are synthetic, only natural Lycomato gives you all the antioxidants found in the tomato. Ask for Like a Mato at GNC, the Vitamin Shop, and other fine health food stores.
AOL users, now you can keep your AOL email address for free. Bring it with you to Net Zero and save almost $200 a year. With AOL's recent decision to let you keep your email address for free, you can get your email from AOL and your internet access from Net Zero. Net Zero is only $9.95 a month. That's less than half the price of AOL. And Net Zero ranks higher in customer satisfaction. So why wouldn't you do it? Take 2 minutes now and download Net Zero. Call 1-800-NET-ZERO or visit netzero.com.
You know, it seems like we've been watching reruns forever, doesn't it? The new fall TV season is just getting underway, and now the oddsmakers are betting which ones will get the axe first. Here's ABC's Karen Chase.
The fall TV season Death Watch is already underway. A new website connected to Bravo Network, named after a Bravo show called BrilliantButCanceled.com, is running a sweepstakes, offering prizes to fans who can predict which of all the network's 24 new shows will be the first to get the axe. A spokesman for Bravo says it's all in good fun, though he does get some cold stares in the hallways. So far, the show judge most likely to die is Happy Hour, a Fox comedy about a suddenly single man and his party-hardy friend. Second, according to website watchers, Men in Trees, since it airs on Friday, which one TV critic says is where shows go to die. Karen Chase, ABC News.
Can you become addicted to Botox? A British study says not exactly. While it may be easy to get emotionally hooked on looking younger, you can't physically get addicted to the line-relaxing injections. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 4 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your quick look at your weather for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. Mostly cloudy, a chance of showers this morning. Otherwise, partly cloudy this afternoon with a high in the lower 70s. For this evening, partly cloudy, a low in the upper 40s. For Tuesday, partly cloudy and cool with a high only in the mid-60s. And on Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high around 70. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 60 degrees under cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting 60 degrees as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. What's up next? We'll take another look at your ABC News at the top of the 10 o'clock hour and give you a quick update on the forecast. That's a look at the forecast for now. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, tell me, sister. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, tell me, sister. To use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife and my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal
treatment. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
I'm
This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world and how they affect us. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Good morning, and welcome to Mondays at 9. This Monday, we are talking about the issue of reparations. That's right, reparations. And the reason we're talking about it today is that we have a landmark reparations case against corporations that's taking place on Wednesday, September 27th in Chicago. And we're going to talk to the executive director of the Restitution Study Group, Deidria Farmer-Pellman. She's joining us from Jersey City, New Jersey. Deidria, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Great.
Very good. I can hardly hear you a little bit. Can you speak up just a little bit?
Sure.
Okay, very good. Mm-hmm. Can we start at the beginning of this? Can we start at the place where, on the issue of reparations, can you define for our audience what you mean when you are saying reparations?
Reparations has at its root the word repair. So what we're talking about is whatever is necessary to repair a group of people who have been injured, and in particular we're talking about the descendants of enslaved Africans who still suffer from injuries that our ancestors initially were subject to as enslaved people.
And this particular lawsuit is different. I mean, and could you explain to us about why this is a landmark case?
It's landmark because the history of the struggle for reparations, which is quite long, the struggle began somewhere at the time that we were emancipated in 1865. But the history has been a focus on the federal government paying reparations to enslaved Africans and then their descendants and so on and so forth. This case focuses on corporations, private entities that played a role in the enslavement of Africans. A lot of times folks think South when they think of slavery. However, through research, actually as a law student, I realized that so many of the companies that played a role in slavery were from the North and that they're still around. A lot of them are financial institutions. And so they are defendants in this litigation.
And Deidria, I think that it's an instructive and an important part of this discussion about reparations as a result of enslavement of Africans is to talk about how much money we're talking about that these corporations made. This isn't chump change by any means.
Absolutely not. One of the companies, for example, J.P. Morgan Chase Manhattan Bank, they are defendants in the case. They are a trillion-dollar company today. So, and in fact, we managed to get them to admit to their role in slavery. Initially, they weren't open about it. They denied it.
How does a company like one that doesn't think very much about what happened in this country's what this country's wicked history was about enslavement. We wouldn't think of a bank as being part of making money off of enslavement. They think of enslaved people working in the cotton field and the person that's getting the free labor is making money. How does a J.P. Morgan Chase Manhattan Bank, a Bank of America, an Aetna, New York Life Insurance Company, and CSX Railway, how did they make money off of enslavement?
Well, a lot of people think that slavery was just sort of like an arbitrary, let's grab these people from Africa and bring them to work. It was a very well-organized institution with banks financing the transatlantic slave trade. For example, the Providence Bank of Rhode Island, which is today Bank of America, they finance the transatlantic slave trade. Some insurers financed the ships that were carrying human cargo. They were insured. A person who might get sick on a ship would be dumped in the ocean alive just to make sure that a company like Lloyd's of London would pay on the insurance on that person's life. If they got to the shore, the insurer wouldn't pay. So that's one example. Trains, railroad companies, for example, CSX, used enslaved laborers to build the railroad lines. A company like Aetna financed the domestic enslavement of Africans.
How did they do that?
Well, when a slave owner might be hesitant at purchasing human chattel, because they were very expensive, certainly at the close of the slave trade, humans became very expensive. So an insurer like Aetna would say, listen, go ahead, buy that person. If they die, we've got you covered with this insurance policy. You can buy another one.
And I imagine they got paid a little better than the people whose homes were in the wake of Katrina got paid.
The insurer.
Yeah, the insurer.
Absolutely.
I think they probably got paid on theirs a little better.
Well, you know, I wouldn't know the comparison because I haven't really looked at the numbers in that way. But certainly they were able to buy new humans.
Mm. And when we talk about enslavement, how much of America was impacted? I often hear folks that call my show, people that are not of African descent, saying, well, why should I have to pay for it? My granddaddy didn't own a slave. For me personally, where did you go? Slave owner or enslaver.org? How would you know that, first of all? And then secondly, can you talk to us about who were the people that were slavers?
Well, you know.
And I need you to hold that thought because we have to take a break. I am talking to Deidrea Farmer Pellman. She is the executive director of the Restitution Study Group. We are talking about oral arguments for the landmark slavery reparation case taking place Wednesday, September 27th in Chicago, Illinois. This is Liz Brown, Mondays at 9. We will be back.
State Auditor Claire McCaskill, candidate for the U.S. Senate, will join Liz Brown on Tuesday, September 19th at 7 a.m. to talk about the critical issues facing the Democrats this November and will also help to set the record straight on her opponent, Jim Talent. Claire McCaskill will be a regular contributor to the Wake Up Call program until the election. Don't miss Claire McCaskill, Tuesday morning at 7 with Liz Brown here on the Wake Up Call. Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Does your life need to be energized? Are you in need of some direction and clarity? Is it time to make a change? Tune in to Sort It Out with professional organizers Lori and Claire, Wednesdays from 10 to 11 a.m., and we'll share with you everything we know from our expertise in organizing, be it life, home, or business, to us motivating and empowering you to go after your dreams and goals. We are known as the Dynamic Duo, and we can rescue you from your organizing challenges. We want to encourage you to get real with your life and regain control.
It's another Wake Up Call exclusive. Does AIDS really exist?
When the researchers told you that worldwide 35 million people have been infected and 5 million have developed AIDS, you believed them. What about when they told you that minorities, primarily blacks and Hispanics, now account for some 54% of the more than 5 million cases of AIDS? You believed them, right? So what if someone told you that AIDS didn't exist? Would you believe?
Investigative journalist Liam Sheff joins Liz Brown Tuesday, September 19th at 8 a.m. for a two-hour look at whether the AIDS epidemic is real or a real hoax, exclusively on the award-winning Wake Up Call. The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Mondays at 9. My guest this hour is Deidrea Farmer-Pellman. She is the executive director of the Restitution Study Group. She's joining us from Jersey City, New Jersey. We're talking about a landmark reparations case finally making it to court. Oral arguments for the that involves the landmark slavery reparation case against corporations will take place September 27th in Chicago, Illinois. And, Deidrea, welcome back. We were talking about before the break how deep was enslavement in this country. Who owned, who were people that were slavers?
Well, one of the reasons why all Americans have to play a role in reparations is because all Americans benefit from the enslavement of Africans, because the U.S. government, for example, used slave labor to build many of its major institutions, one of which is the U.S. Capitol. State governments used enslaved laborers to pave roads, to also build institutions. Colleges and universities, Brown University, Georgetown University, Emory University, so much of this nation used enslaved people on the campuses, but an institution like Emory University used enslaved the cadavers, the dead bodies of enslaved people for medical research. Enslaved women were used to develop the practice of gynecology, repeated operations. And so all of America has benefited from this horrible institution, and so all of America has to play a role in reparations, in the repair.
How did you come to be involved in this?
Well, you know, my grandfather used to talk about 40 acres and a mule when I was a child, and I thought it was a myth. But when I got a little older, I read some of Malcolm X's work and learned that this was a real thing, that there was a major demand for reparations. And I went to law school specifically with the goal of developing a case. I started focusing on the government and realized there were some hurdles, and so I started looking at the private corporations. And so when I graduated, I reached out to Aetna Incorporated, one of the companies I learned about as a student, and I asked them to apologize and pay restitution, and they apologized. It was the first apology for reparations, for slavery, that is, ever in this country. And so, you know, it's moved forward from then. I mean, it's, you know, my little one-woman campaign actually became an actual movement. Legislation is being passed all around this country demanding that the companies, requiring that they report on their roles in slavery.
And as an attorney, I know that you have to have standing in order to bring a lawsuit. How do we have standing in a case like this?
Well, all slave descendants today have suffered enormous injuries as a result of what happened to our ancestors. I mean, the race discrimination that we encounter on a daily basis has its root in slavery. But with respect to these corporations, they actually possess the fruit of our ancestors' labor. That is actual dollars that they stole from humans at a time when they knew that there was something wrong with enslaving Africans. That's why slavery was illegal in the North. And most of these companies are from the North, so they knew what they did was wrong. So, for example, a person like me, I actually have standing because Aetna actually wrote a slave policy on my ancestor. As a result of one of these slavery ever disclosure laws, the information was revealed. And so that's one of the issues in the litigation.
So some
of the plaintiffs in the case were actually enslaved until the 1960s. Okay? And so that's their link to this practice.
Some of the plaintiffs in this case were enslaved up until 1960?
Through the 1960s. We have a family that was enslaved until the 1960s on a plantation in Louisiana. We have a woman, she's passed on, but she filed the case before she passed on, that was enslaved on a Louisiana dairy farm until 1935. Absolutely. A lot of people think slavery was so far back. We have biological sons and daughters of enslaved Africans in this litigation. Slavery was not that long ago.
Who will benefit? How? Let's say, well, first of all, what are you asking for from Aetna and Bank of America and Chase, J.P. Morgan Chase Manhattan Bank and New York Life Insurance Company and CSX Railway? Mm-hmm. What are you asking for?
We are asking that they create a humanitarian trust fund that will be used to repair some of the injuries the slave descendants still suffer from today. What we're talking about is creating economic opportunities through businesses, building of businesses, for job opportunities to be created, to help students with their college education, health care. These are the problems that have been, research upon research has confirmed that so many of our problems are linked to the legacy of slavery. And so we want this fund to be used to deal with those injuries.
Are you not concerned that some of the funds may be used to empower some of the institutions that received the money in the first place, that it might be going back to a university that was built on the backs of our enslaved ancestors?
Well, you know, we all live in this country together, so it's certainly something like that may happen. But some of these universities, we're asking to waive tuition for slave descendants. A university like Brown University, that request has been put before them. They're not in the litigation, mm-hmm. but, I mean, these are other ways that parties are being asked to pay restitution or reparations.
We had a person that ran for office here in a local race, a state Senate race, and a white male. And he was against reparations because now apparently it's difficult to figure out who's African and who's not. His position was how do you know who is of African descent and who is not? We all come from Africa. How do you respond to such a position? And secondly, how will this lawsuit determine who gets what?
Well, you know, although we were enslaved and a lot of records don't exist, slave descendants generally know who their ancestors were who were enslaved. We're talking two generations, in some instances one generation ago. So we're not talking about ancient history here. So sure, I know my ancestors who were enslaved, and I know that I'm connected to them. I mean, we have some records that, you know, just basic genealogy can confirm that. But also there's something else that exists today. There are DNA tests. And while this is not part of the litigation and it won't necessarily be required of anyone, there are DNA tests now available by a company called African Ancestry that can trace your DNA to a specific ethnic and national group in Africa.
I know.
Tell you specifically where your ancestors were from.
We had them on my show. I had mine done, and I'm from Nigeria.
Ah, okay.
So, yeah,
I'm from Sierra Leone.
There you go. There you go. So DNA helps. DNA
Absolutely.
Helps
Absolutely.
A lot. So how would, let's say that when you win this lawsuit, do I, Liz Brown, have an opportunity to go to this fund and make a claim? Has that been worked out?
No, those details have not been worked out. I mean, at this point, we're trying to just have the fund established. We're asking that the companies create a partnership with the community, with certain leaders, you know, and those leaders have not been identified, so that we can work toward a collective approach. I mean, everyone can take their $1 or $2.50, but how much are we going to accomplish with that approach?
Mm-hmm.
What we're looking at is more collective remedies.
And one of the things that our community, the challenge to our community as a direct result of enslavement is the fact that our community does not have the wealth to pass on from generation to generation. don't have the home, the homes to pass, the value of the homes to pass on, and therefore we're at a disadvantage as a result of that. Do you see that fund in some way contributing to that, the individual family wealth of black folks?
Absolutely. Affordable housing is one of the items that we have listed as an organization. And when I say we, I mean the Restitution Study Group. We put together a business plan proposal. Affordable housing is critical.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me get to some of our callers who have some questions out here. Lois, do you have a question for my guest, Deidrea Farmer Pellman?
Ms. Pellman. Okay. Yes, I do. And good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
First of all, I want to congratulate you, Ms. Pellman, for what you're doing, and I wish you all the success. I think it's great.
Thank you.
I am happy to hear that one of the things that you want in repayment is support in education.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, is much more important, I think, than monetary. Because we was robbed 300-400 years of education. So if we can get the government to help our kids to get support with higher education, that's great. And the other thing that I like to see come out of this, excuse me, I'm a little nervous, is them helping us find who we are, where we came from. I know that they have records, some archives somewhere that tells the details of where the slaves came from, who they bought them from, what slaveholders, you know, had them. And if I think that would be a great thing if that information can be given to us so we can start our search and not charge us for it. Let that be a free thing instead of paying our $300 or whatever on our own to try to find out our where our ancestors come from.
Thank
you. Let the government.
Thank you. Thank you, Lois.
Thank you.
We're taking a break. My guest this hour, this is Mondays at 9, Deidrea Farmer Pellman. She's the executive director of the Restitution Study Group. We're talking about a case that's coming up on September 27th, the case, the landmark slavery reparation case against corporations, September 27th in Chicago, Illinois. Stay with us.
State Auditor Claire McCaskill, candidate for the U.S. Senate, will join Liz Brown on Tuesday, September 19th at 7 a.m. to talk about the critical issues facing the Democrats this November and will also help to set the record straight on her opponent, Jim Talent. Claire McCaskill will be a regular contributor to the Wake Up Call program until the election. Don't miss Claire McCaskill, Tuesday morning at 7 with Liz Brown here on the Wake Up Call.
Hi, this is now Hall of Famer Wade Boggs, and I'd like to talk to you about another exclusive group that I belong to that has changed my life. I'm talking about the thousands of guys who, just like me, have decided to take control of their hair loss and regrow their hair permanently with the pros at Medical Hair Restoration. The best thing about this club is that you see the rewards every day. Having my hair back has made me look and feel younger than I have in years. And that's the ultimate vote of confidence.
If you're balding or thinning, Medical Hair Restoration, the nation's leader in microsurgical hair transplantation, wants to send you a free DVD package explaining just how easy and painless their hair replacement procedure is. Call 800-410-1832. That's 800-410-1832. Take control of your hair loss and get this free information package sent to you with tons of before and after pictures and testimonials. There's no cost, no obligation. Call 800-410-1832. That's 800-410-1832.
This is Judy Moskov. Join me for A Gardener's Notebook every Monday at 12 noon on AM 920 WGNU. As a master gardener, I'll answer your questions about what grows and what doesn't, how to control annoying garden pests, and help you create colorful flower gardens and the freshest fruits and vegetables you've ever tasted. Join me, Judy Moskov, for A Gardener's Notebook, Mondays at noon on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the gardening issues that matter most to you.
It's another Wake Up Call exclusive. Does AIDS really exist?
When the researchers told you that worldwide 35 million people have been infected and 5 million have developed AIDS, you believe them. What about when they told you that minorities, primarily blacks and Hispanics, now account for some 54% of the more than 5 million cases of AIDS? You believe them, right? So what if someone told you that AIDS didn't exist? Would you believe?
Investigative journalist Liam Sheff joins Liz Brown Tuesday, September 19th at 8 a.m. for a two-hour look at whether the AIDS epidemic is real or a real hoax, exclusively on the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Mondays at 9. My guest this hour is Deidria Farmer-Pellman. She is the executive director of the Restitution Study Group. She's joining us from Jersey City, New Jersey. We're talking about a landmark reparations case that is making it to court on September 27th, 2006. Let me get to another caller or two. Zach, do you have a question for our guest, Ms. Deidria Farmer-Pellman?
Yes, Liz, I do, and I want to say good morning to Mrs. Pelton.
Good morning.
Liz, you raised the question where a lot of our Caucasian counterparts suggest that they themselves didn't personally benefit from the slavery institution, which not just them, but the world did. I mean, we were the guinea pigs of the day, and we still are when you look at this situation with the AIDS, et cetera. You know, it's been documented in Africa how they to us as a people, we were less than animals. The veterinarians were our doctors. You paid a tax on us as real property. You benefited from the roads, the bricks, all of that stuff you benefited for. You merely said, I'm white, and you got a free pass on things. They recently put a poll tax together called voter ID. I guess they were going to put that on the poor per se and not just us specifically, but there are poll taxes placed on us, and you allow these wrongs to go down without raising your hand in no time. In those places like Aetna, Bank of America, they owned the plantation. They owned thousands of slaves. They breeded us just like you do your special animals today. We're merely that. It's simply as asking, would you take Lassie to breakfast? That's how you looked at us. And when you shackle my feet and you shackle my hands and you tell me to run a race or to fight you, what chance do I have? That's why wherever we go, whether it be Jersey, St. Louis, wherever, you do the 360. You don't see African-owned institution. You see Aetna. You see Bank of America. And you did it on the back of our ancestors.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank
hardest
you
to fight, longest to struggle.
Thanks, Zach. And in terms of the companies that the lawsuit has been filed against, J.P. Morgan, Chase Manhattan, Bank of America, Aetna, New York Life Insurance Company, and CSX, why these corporations? Are there more out there?
Well, actually, there are 18 different companies in the litigation, so there's quite a number that you're leaving
okay.
out, but I know you don't have the time to name them all.
Right.
There are many more companies. At this point, we're pursuing a litigation against these because we've accumulated enough information to verify their connection, and we don't want to litigate against, you know, thousands of companies on the first shot. This is a landmark case, and actually, we feel very optimistic about it and this particular approach to the struggle. We've already had some victories with some of these companies. Last year, three of them, I would say, paid a nominal payment, a down payment on reparations in the amount of $20 million in connection with the slavery era disclosure laws. Those laws can actually block a company from being able to do business with cities. And so with the city of Chicago, several of the companies had lied on their disclosure forms. That these are.
Well, and explain for the audience what that disclosure form is, and how Chicago is unique.
Right. Well, Chicago, there are actually several other cities that have passed the same law as Chicago's,
okay. Chicago is the largest.
The law requires that the companies report on their connections to slavery. That is, when they apply for contracts with the city to do municipal bonds or whatever have you for the city, they're required to indicate their links to slavery. Some of these companies put false information on their report, and they were caught. And so their contracts were blocked. In particular, J.P. Morgan Chase had their contracts held up for nearly a year, and then they finally told the truth, some of the truth, because we know there's a lot more information out there about them. When I say contracts, I mean there's something like $30 million in contracts that were blocked. But with some of the companies, they're a lot larger contracts with the cities. For example, Lehman Brothers, another company that had, that's one of the largest banks in the United States, private banks. They also put misleading information on their report and were put under fire by the city. As far as I know, their contracts weren't blocked, but they did finally come forward and tell the truth.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
When we talk about the different companies, I want to have a little bit more conversation about that, but we don't have a whole lot of time left, so I want to throw this out here. Can you tell us about the 108-year-old man who was enslaved, who's one of the plaintiffs,
right,
until 1960? What is his name, and how did you find him?
His name is Cain Wall, and in the litigation we have a lot of scholars. One of our scholars is Antoinette Harrell Miller, who is a genealogist in Louisiana. She runs genealogy workshops. Mr. Wall's daughter, Mae Miller, came to that genealogy workshop and expressed to her that she needs help doing research because her family was enslaved for many years. And she said that they never knew that black people were free until the 1960s.
Okay? How does that happen?
Well, actually, it's not a unique situation. The NAACP tried to fight similar cases for many years. They had great difficulty. There were many Africans that were held in slavery into the 60s. Some believe that there may still be some being held right now. There was a practice that's well documented at the Library of Congress and at the National Archives. There are hundreds of files there.
How did they do it?
Well, in the South, you know, the local law enforcement would cooperate with slave owners that would want to people who would want to enslave Africans. Sometimes black people were snatched off the street and forced into slavery. Sometimes a planter, a farmer, might go and bail someone out of prison for $5 and have them work that $5 off for the rest of their lives. So this is this was the form of involuntary servitude that took place up until that time.
Let me get to another caller or two. Marty.
Yes, Liz, good morning to you and your guests. I had a question. What's the statute of limitations on what I would consider to be murder, because my father was in a car accident and he wouldn't be accepted into the hospital that would save his life because he was black. And since these places are corporations, and they were using the law that was supposed to have been supposed to protect blacks, I think it was the 14th Amendment or something like that, and corporations start using that law, can they use that law to kind of dodge or get out of paying reparations to black people?
Thanks
well,
for your call.
You know, one of the big arguments that they put forward is that slavery was legal, and the other part of it is that they argue that none of the parties can link themselves to the companies. Both of those things are not true, and we provide the information about that in the records. Slavery is and it always has been a crime against humanity. In 2001, there was a UN declaration confirming that. But also, some of these companies were engaged in the enslavement of Africans when it was illegal. For example, Bank of America, their bank, Providence Bank of Rhode Island, helped to finance the illegal enslavement of Africans. And we looked at what they should have been fined. Those fines amount to $350 billion in today's currency. So not everything was...
Is there a statute of limitations on that?
Well, you know, that's something to be decided by the court. As far as we're concerned, no, because it was a crime against humanity, and there is no statute of limitation on a crime against humanity.
How does the request for, or does the request, the demand for reparations for the enslavement of African people, does that differ than the request for reparations from Jews that were victims of the Holocaust?
Well, you know,
or is there a comparison to be made at all?
I really don't like to compare because everyone's situation is so very unique. You know, Africans were enslaved in this country for three centuries. So, you know, we're talking about a very long time. The Holocaust, lots of, you know, enormous amount of death and devastation occurred. I would say, for the most part, the experiences are very similar. You know, you have people committing crimes against humanity who, you know, are not immediately forthcoming to pay for the injuries that they caused.
When we talk about the numbers of enslaved Africans, can we count them? And is there a number out there of how many of us this involved?
What, you mean how many were enslaved or how many are descendants?
Both.
Well, the number of those enslaved, you know, there's an official number, and then there's what we believe to be the case. So many millions were dropped in the ocean, you know, ended up in the bottom of the ocean, not actually making it to the Americas to actually even be forced to labor.
We have to take a break. Mm-hmm. Some would say that the paths of the hurricanes travel the paths of the ships that brought us here. That's what some would say. My name is Liz Brown. This is Mondays at 9. I'm talking to, this hour, DeAdria Farmer-Pellman. She's the executive director of the Restitution Study Group. We're talking about a landmark lawsuit for reparations. We'll be back.
State Auditor Claire McCaskill, candidate for the U.S. Senate, will join Liz Brown on Tuesday, September 19th at 7 a.m. to talk about the critical issues facing the Democrats this November, and will also help to set the record straight on her opponent, Jim Talent. Claire McCaskill will be a regular contributor to the Wake Up Call program until the election. Don't miss Claire McCaskill, Tuesday morning at 7 with Liz Brown here on the Wake Up Call. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update. Dateline, Washington. The Bush administration has already taken a step to punish Iran over its nuclear program. 2 weeks ago, the Treasury Department issued an order for all American-owned banks to stop doing business with Bank Sadarat. That's one of Iran's largest lenders. The explanation was that bank supports terrorist activities by channeling hundreds of millions of dollars to extremist groups and the Iran missile program through unwitting American institutions. Three major Japanese banks have followed America's lead and announced they will not do business with Iran either, even though Iran supplies much of their oil. American Treasury officials are trying to get other nations to come on board with the policy, especially those in Europe and the Middle East. But so far, there's been little reaction or support. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update.
Get a free Razor cell phone delivered free to your door. Don't want a free Razor? Then go to letstalk17.com and choose from hundreds of other free phones. Join 500,000 users who found the smartest way to buy their cell phones. Never pay retail again. At letstalk17.com, you can compare prices on phones and service plans from all the major carriers. Find the coolest new phone at the coolest price. Find the best current special offers. Read what folks have to say about their phones and plans. They actually rate and review their phones and service plans so you know which ones to pick. Do it all in the comfort of your own home. If your plan is ending, now's your chance. Try your new phone risk-free for 7 days with free 48-hour shipping. Letstalk17.com is the only way to get the absolute best deal possible. Right now, get a free Razor after $50 mail-in rebate. This is an exclusive online offer at letstalk17.com. New 2-year service plan agreement required. One-time wireless activation and early termination fees may apply. Go to letstalk17.com. That's letstalk17.com.
Hi,
Hey, I'm Laurie Fulkerson. Join me right after the 10 o'clock news here on AM 920 WGNU.
It's another wake-up call exclusive. Does AIDS really exist?
When the researchers told you that worldwide 35 million people have been infected and 5 million have developed AIDS, you believed them. What about when they told you that minorities, primarily blacks and Hispanics, now account for some 54% of the more than 5 million cases of AIDS? You believed them, right? So what if someone told you that AIDS didn't exist? Would you believe?
Investigative journalist Liam Sheff joins Liz Brown Tuesday, September 19th at 8 a.m. for a two-hour look at whether the AIDS epidemic is real or a real hoax, exclusively on the award-winning Wake Up Call. Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back to our Mondays at 9 discussion. I'm Liz Brown, and I'm talking to Deidre F. Farmer-Pellman. She's the Executive Director of the Restitution Study Group. She's joining us from Jersey City, New Jersey. We are talking about a landmark case that's going to take place on September 27th in Chicago. And Deidre, welcome back. Let me get to some more of our callers here. Philip, you have a question for our guest.
Yes, I noticed, I was watching Cool Hand Luke. They started talking about chain gangs and how they were organized, and basically they stated that the state of Georgia, Alabama, and Mississippi, after Reconstruction, set it up so that if African people did very, very small things, got up to 10 years, and were given their sentences and actually could be re-enslaved to their former owners, the Peabody Coal Company, to organizations like that, and they were basically, white folks at that point were not allowed to be sentenced more than 10 years, so they weren't in the chain gang, caught up in the chain gangs. Is there any reparations going towards the states for doing these things? Because what they did was change their prison systems into, they could hire out the inmates, and they made money off of that. The person would pay $8 a month or $8 a year or whatever it was and actually take black folks back off the streets. You could actually go and find your ex-slave and put him back into enslavement by saying he spit on the street and he looked at you wrong, things of that nature. Just wanted to know if they were going after the states as well.
Very good question. Thank you.
The current litigation does not deal with states or any governments. It really is focused exclusively on corporations. However, there are other entities that are engaged in research and developing cases, these are issues, the Jim Crow era, the Black Codes, these are issues that they will be taking up.
And you mentioned at the start of our conversation that the reparations movement didn't begin with this lawsuit. It started back in 1865. Can you tell us briefly a little bit about that?
Right. Well, the earliest mass movement of black people actually was a slavery reparations movement. It was headed up by a woman named Callie House. And right now, Mary Frances Berry, the scholar, Dr. Berry, has a book out on Callie House and that first movement. It was called the Ex-Slave Pension Movement. It started roughly in 1890. It ended in about 1917 with the federal government shutting it down by accusing all of the leaders of it of mail fraud, which is what they accused Marcus Garvey of a little later in history.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a taste of what it was. But one of the questions you asked before the break was ways that one could actually get an idea of who, where they came from or what kind of documentation actually exists. The Oxford University actually has a transatlantic slave trade database. If you are able to determine your ethnic group or the nation that you came from, like, for example, through the DNA testing, if you get access to that transatlantic slave trade database, you might be able to get a clear idea of who played a role in enslaving you, company-wise, nation-wise. There's a lot of information in those databases.
Very good. 1-877-920-WGNU. Eugene, you have a question for Deidre Farmer-Pellman.
Right. Just say, for instance, if your suit is successful and there have been several groups that are doing several suits and that there was a monetary award, has your organization set up an organization to receive this money, say, for example, like Jesse Jackson proposed?
Well, no, Mr.
Yes.
Yeah, Jesse Jackson is not involved in the work that we're doing. So I don't think he would be involved in any kind of trust fund. But no, we have not created a fund. Actually, the court will actually create a fund. We have a fund at this moment, though, that we use to raise money to finance the litigation. And if you go to our website, you can learn more about that.
And your website is?
It's rsgincorp.com. That's rsgincorp, Incorp, that is, .com.
And we'll talk about this court case on September 27th. These are oral arguments. This is the start of the case.
Actually, it's not the start of the case. The case was already dismissed, and it's on appeal. So these are oral arguments in the appeal. Now, the dismissal, of obviously, we're appealing it. We felt the judge did not review the facts of the case. And we believe very strongly that the appeals court will rule differently.
What were the grounds for the dismissal?
Well, one of the key things that the judge says is that none of the plaintiffs have a link to the defendants, and it's absolutely not true. There's evidence that was provided to the court on my link to Aetna through one of my ancestors that they wrote a life insurance policy on. Various other things. For example, the case has two types of arguments, the human rights arguments, the slavery was a crime against humanity, and then there are consumer fraud arguments. Many of the plaintiffs are consumers today of defendants who lied to us about their role in slavery. And so we have present-day consumer fraud allegations that should have been allowed to go forward. And there are Supreme Court decisions that support us being able to go forward, recent Supreme Court decisions with the current court. So we anticipate that we should be able to move forward with our litigation. The appeals court should rule differently.
And, Dimitri, you have a question for our guest.
I have a guest question for your guest. Is your guest aware of the fact that the Missouri legislature a couple years back passed a law saying that reparations paid by Germany to Jews living in Missouri, the tax would be waived? Would that help your case any? I'll hang up and listen to your response.
Well, how it helps us is that, if all goes well, we should expect that the funds that we receive in our settlement not be taxable. So I think in that sense it can serve as model legislation for that kind of effort.
So what is give us kind of a timeline on this. We have oral arguments on the 27th. Let's say you are successful on the oral arguments. Then what happens?
Well, it could be anywhere from a few weeks to, possibly even as much as a year before we get a decision from the appeals court. And after that, if all goes well for plaintiffs, then our hope is that the defendants would decide to settle or we move forward to trial. The defendants may decide that they want to appeal to the Supreme Court. Of course, if we're not successful, we will appeal to the Supreme Court.
And in terms of the types of plaintiffs that you have in this case, can you describe them for us? And is, does it matter their age? Does, would that have any impact on if the plaintiffs were unable through their age to make it through to court, the court date?
No, it doesn't matter because, yes, we do have some plaintiffs that are, you know, in their hundreds. You know, one plaintiff 108 years old. Their estate actually remains when they pass on. We've actually already lost a couple of plaintiffs. One person, Ed Lee Bankhead, was one of the oldest people in the world.
Mm.
He was 114 years old, and he was the biological son of an enslaved person.
Mm.
And then there was Emma Marie Clark, who was enslaved on a dairy farm. She, along with one of her sons, were enslaved there. She was forced to prostitute and actually gave birth to two children. One was given away, and the other one was allowed to, or kept with animals on the farm. She's passed away, but her estate remains in the litigation.
Quick question, please, Jensen.
Question I have is the website that she stated, does it have a list of the companies that were involved in enslavement?
Yes.
Thank you so much. And could you give that website out one more time,
yes,
please?
The website is rsgincorp.com. That is INCORP.com. The website does give a list, and there are several links that you'll find lots of information on this litigation.
And the really cool part is that if you are a YouTube fan like I am, you can see a clip of the 108-year-old man who was enslaved.
Absolutely.
So, very good. Deidre Farmer-Pellman, thank you so much for joining me this morning on Mondays at 9.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, I will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Until then, stay strong. You don't want to miss Claire McCaskill, and you certainly don't want to miss our discussion on AIDS. It should be a really rockin' wild day tomorrow. Until then, stay strong.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemy demands tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.